Good morning, Awaken at Central Church. How y'all doing this morning? Well, we're glad that y'all are all here today. We're so glad that you're going to worship with us and let's get together and worship. And we're glad that y'all are celebrating 60 years. That's a long time. But the thing is, we're going to celebrate what Jesus has done, right? So I'm going to invite y'all to stand or worship how you want to and just sing along.
The enemy can't take my family, 'cause this home belongs to the Lord. So I'm not afraid to remind him that he has no claim in this war, and I plead the blood.
church. Notice notice that I said church. And I hope I didn't just mess up somebody's pedal I stepped on, okay? Hey, listen, we're so glad that you're here together today. I said church. Good morning, church. And the reason I said that is because there is only one church. That's those who were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Today is a special day, a special Sunday in the life of both of our churches, and that is Central Baptist Church as well as Awakened Church. We come together today to celebrate 60 years of presence as a church here in the Oak Ridge community, and we are so glad that you have joined us today for this very, very special time. Hey, look around. Look, give somebody a smile and a wave that says, I'm glad that you're here today, and I'm praying that God's going to bless you in an incredible way. And like I say, if you're part of the online audience, do the same thing. Say hello to those that are monitoring. I believe our feeds are both going, Awakens online feed as well as Central's online feed. So I know we probably confused some of the online audience to start with, but that's okay. It'll keep you on your toes. But you are at the right place, and we're so glad that you are here today. Let us look to the Lord today to just fill this place with His presence. And just to do some incredible things in our hearts and lives today as we have come together. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful that we can come together and worship in a fashion, Lord, that just comes up into your presence as a sweet, sweet savor. Lord, as we do this today, I pray that you'll prepare our hearts and minds. And Lord, we know it's been busy. It's been a busy morning because we want things to go right in every aspect. But Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to just take that deep breath and to relax in your presence. Lord, whether we're here today to honor you through song, Lord, whether it's through your word, whatever it may be, Father, I pray that you will help us to relax in the Spirit today, that the Spirit may freely move in, around, and among us in this place today. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we don't serve you alone. And Lord, as we have come together today, two churches with the common cause of Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that you would do some incredible things in hearts and lives of each and every one of us. So Lord, right now, bless our time. Bless everything that takes place. May each and everything honor and glorify you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brad's going to make his way up. He's going to lead us all in a congregational song. You can stand. You can be seated. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. I know sometimes it's tough to stand for a long period of time. But hey, go as the Lord leads, Brother Brad.
Thank you. I was going to have you sit, and we're going to stand for the last verse, but you just continue standing. Amazing grace. Please join me as we sing.
I once was lost. This is everybody. But now. Shield and portion be.
Let's do that last verse again. I think we're off sync there. Please, we're going to go by a cappella here. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no last days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, church. You can be seated. By the way, if you don't have a seat, we do have some, I think, back that way, some up this way. I think there may be some chairs back out there. We don't want you to have to stand the whole time, but we're so glad once again that, that you were here. I want to tell you a little bit about Central Baptist Church and its presence in this community. Oftentimes people don't know or understand it. We included that in your program today if you happen to have one of those, but I want to just kind of cover those highlights. You know, the first mention of starting a mission work in Oak Ridge occurred at a regular business meeting of the Union Grove Baptist Church in September of 1954. A missions committee was appointed and a census was taken of the Oak Ridge community, and it was determined that a Baptist mission was indeed needed. You know, the first meeting of the Oak Ridge Baptist Mission was held in Oak Ridge Elementary School in April of 1957, and regular services began in May of 1957. Now, during the early stages, the average church attendance was 53, and the average offering was $43.67 per week. The recommended budget was $52.40 per week. Then in October 1957, the mission voted to purchase 2.9 acres of land at the intersection of North Carolina Highway 68 and 150. What became known as upper room prayer meetings were held at Richard Nelson's home in a room that was over his garage. And on Sundays, Reverend Manley Bennett preached at the Oak Ridge Baptist Mission in the elementary school at 10 a.m., and then he preached at Union Grove at 11 a.m. Now, in December 1957, plans for a future church building were obtained. In July 1958, the mission voted to trade a portion of the building site for a more desirable plot. And in July 1958, the mission voted to sell $20,000 in church bonds to finance the first building. On September 28, 1958, plans for the first building were approved. The first recorded business meeting was held at the church building. The one that was held at the church building, the first one at the new church building, was July the 15th of 1959. And then the church sold an additional $10,000 worth of bonds to finish the building. Reverend Manley Bennett was the first mission pastor, pastoring both Oak Ridge Baptist Mission and Union Grove Baptist Church. Reverend Roy Liner was the last one to preach in both ministries. Doyle Moore was the first interim pastor, and Reverend Hubert Dixon was called as pastor in 1962. In January 1964, the mission asked for support from Union Grove to become a constituted Southern Baptist church called Central Baptist Church, and that became a reality on May the 3rd, 1964, with a charter membership of 117 members. And since that day, the church has had 12 pastors, and they are listed on the back of your program today. The church constitution was adopted in March of 1968, and Central became a self-supporting church in June of 1970. In August 1977, the church voted to sell $76,000 in bonds to finance an addition to the building. And then also a new sanctuary and educational wing were built in 1997. And this building was paid off in 2009. A Family Life Center, the one that you're sitting in now, a Family Life Center with offices and additional educational space costing $2.2 million was dedicated in September of 2010. The regular weekly budget has gone from $52.40 per week to $10,577 weekly. In the past 20 years, the church has served in mission work in half a dozen foreign countries, as well as mission work in the United States, local missions, and in disaster recovery. The projected mission budget for 2024 was $44,750, which is 8% of the $550,000 total budget. God has certainly had his hand on this ministry from the very, very beginning. And we pray that God is going to continue to do some great and some incredible things here at Central Baptist Church. What I want to do right now is take a time, because we're blessed in a lot of ways, but one of the ways that we're extremely blessed is the fact that we still have, you know, in attendance at Central Baptist Church five original charter members that were there from the very beginning, from, you know, the time that Union Grove voted to allow the mission to take place, all the way through to essentially the votes, the Constitution, and everything else along the way. And they are still here, still serving our Father. And we have a very special table down here to honor them today. And one of the things that we want to do is recognize those folks. So I'm going to get my wife to help me out here as we take a moment to say our thanks. First of all, we have one of our special charter members, which is adorable in every way, and that is Ms. Donry Howerton. And we want you to know we've got a little something in here for you to earmark some things. We do have copies of the original charter membership, which all of you guys are going to be getting as well. In there is a thumb drive. You might have to have your kids or grandchildren help you out with that, and I probably would myself. But you'll have a presentation of the slides that you've seen of things over the past 60 years, as well as the bulletin and the original bulletin from the Constitution, and then a little gift on our behalf. But I want to recognize today very, very special charter member, Donry Howerton. Would you show her your appreciation? Another one of those special members that I've always said this, I appreciate Roger Howerton so much in so many ways. He's been a mentor. He's been a spiritual father along the way. He's been that guy that would sit down and tell you what he thought in a lot of different ways. And I admire him for that. This is a guy that I love dearly with all of my heart. He has done so many things through Central Baptist Church. He has served as deacon. He has served as treasurer. He has a heart for Central Baptist Church, and he has a heart for the Oak Ridge community, and he has a heart to see ministry go on, to see the whole town of Oak Ridge come to know Jesus, because it's about the kingdom's work for Roger. And I love and appreciate that about him so much. Would you please show your appreciation to charter member Roger Howerton? All right. Again, we have one of our quiet types that just loves to sing from the bottom of his heart and loves to praise the Lord and has been active in so many ways through Central Baptist Church. And I haven't even begun to mention, there's not enough time in this service to be able to mention all of the different things that each of these charter members have done throughout Central Baptist Church in its life and in its history. So, I'm just hitting a few of the highlights. I know that our brother Leonard Stafford loves to sing. He has always been that guy that has been right there. And I know that that Miss May was always right by his side the whole way. And even though she has reached glory, we have that opportunity today to recognize Leonard Stafford and all the contributions that he has made to Central Baptist Church in the beginning as well as through the years. Another one that has done so many things and continues to do so is our very own Ruby Stoltz. And it's funny because some people over the years had looked and said, who is Ruby McHouston? And I said, that's our Ruby Stoltz. Ruby has been here since the very, very beginning, as well as working through the church in so many different areas with children as well as Sunday school. And Ruby had always, through the years, kept the Sunday school records and attendance. and continues to support in ways beyond anything that we know, and love her dearly, love her so much. And today we honor Ruby McHouston, charter member. Would you show her our appreciation? Finally, you know what they say. I don't want to say save the best for last, because all of them are the best. But as we've come together today again to recognize 60 years of service as a church in the Oak Ridge community, we certainly wouldn't be able to leave out one of our great charter members, Mr. Carl Young. Carl has worked in so many different ways and areas. Carl's also a testimony to the fact that you're never too old to work in children's ministry, because I can still remember Mr. Carl was a listener in Awana and just loved working with the kids. And he worked with the little ones, the ones that would make me lose my cotton picking mind. But he loved doing that. Health has been a challenge here lately. Carl continues to keep on keeping on, to keep on moving forward. And he always did that with the bride and love of his life, Miss Frances, who is also home with the Lord right now. But once again, Carl continues to go forward. Would you please show your appreciation to Mr. Carl Young? I want to say that as the choir makes their way up, they've made their way up here. I want you to do me a favor real quick, and I want you to just look around. I want you to see the people that are in this room. And the reason that I want you to do that, and that's with both churches, every one of us are here today because of the sacrifices that these folks made, these charter members, the ones that we still have with us today. That's why we're here. Had they not been faithful through the good times and through the bad times, the church would not exist. And if our church didn't exist, Awaken Church wouldn't be here with us today. So every one of us owe a debt of gratitude to those that have gone before us. We've said many times that we see further down the road because we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Without them, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't even be here today. So would you please, one more time, show your appreciation to the charter members of Central Baptist Church. We love you guys. We appreciate you. You have done well. Great is your reward. Great is your reward.
I got to tell them what to do.
It's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to come together with God's people. And today, bringing our 60th anniversary message is somebody who's no stranger to our church. You've seen him a couple of times along the way. Let me get out of his way so he can get in the way. But this is Pastor Barry Owen. Barry serves as the discipleship pastor at Lawndale Baptist Church, good friend of mine. I've known Barry it's been 30 years when he was actually a youth pastor at Pleasant Garden Baptist Church. He served youth for many years in the Georgia area, actually served at First Baptist with Dr. Charles Stanley, Peachtree Corners, were you at that one as well? And a couple of other places before assuming the role as discipleship pastor back here in Greensboro at Lawndale Baptist Church. It's always a pleasure to have Barry's the head of his household, but Diane is the neck that turns the head. So it's always good to have the neck that turns the head with us today. So would you welcome Barry Owen to bring us our homecoming message today?
Thank you so much, Roy. Roy and Jim, I play golf with these guys, so ask them about their golf game, and I'll tell you, Jim can't count. That's so just so you know, when we play golf, what'd you get? Four? Sure. Okay, whatever you say. But what an honor it is for me to be able to speak today at this homecoming Which one do you need to speak from? The microphone? Turn the other one off? All right, we're going to go with this then. So I got to do too many things. Man, y'all are killing me here. They told me today to take as much time needed, but I'm going to tell you, after walking past that dessert table, I'm ready to say amen, let's eat. So anybody here for the banana pudding? That's what I'm going to sign up for. Today at our church, we had our graduates and students recognition. So what an honor to recognize our students. I love the story of the 18-year-old college freshman who wrote in her diary, "I know what I want in a man. So I began looking for my knight in shining armor on a white horse. At the beginning of my sophomore year, I realized the color of the horse was not that important. When my junior year rolled around, I thought, who needs armor? Besides, it just gets rusty. As a senior in college with limited prospects, I just decided, just take the horse. So the homecoming service at a Baptist church is a cherished tradition. It holds a special place in the heart of its congregants. It is a time of joyful celebration, heartfelt reunions, and spiritual renewal. This annual event serves as a beacon, drawing together current members, former parishioners, and even those from the wider community of those who have connection to the church. The homecoming service is a testament to the enduring bonds of faith, fellowship, and heritage that are woven into the fabric of a Baptist congregation. I think any church that is trying to make an impact in its community needs to be always evaluating itself. We need to be asking this question, how are we as a church doing? What are we doing? How are we doing it? Are we being effective? Are we being efficient? So I have the honor today to celebrate your past. I want to thank those who have prayed, worked, and sacrificed so that we could make an impact in our community. But also, I want us to look to God for our future. And so I'm going to take you today, and it's interesting where the Lord led me as I was preparing this message. I'm going to be reading from the book of Revelation. You say, well, that's a stretch. You're, man, homecoming and Revelation, I don't know if that goes together. But actually, it does. And the reason it goes together is because the Lord Jesus is writing a letter to the church. As you know, John is on the Isle of Patmos. It actually has a picture of Patmos down at the bottom of that map. And he's writing to these seven churches. And this is a letter that he is writing them because it's a letter with intention. And so I want to ask you today, if Jesus was writing a letter to Awaken Church, if Jesus was writing a letter today to Central Church, what would he say? Have you ever thought about how many letters there are out there? We've got letters of a business letter. We've got acceptance letters. We've got cover letters. We've got formal letters. We've got offer letters. We've got a resignation letter. We've got an apology letter. We've got a cease and desist letter. And I have to admit, one time I got a Dear John letter, and she said it was over, but thankfully Diane didn't send that one. So the Apostle John is instructed to write on a scroll a letter to seven churches, and these seven churches are in Asia. And as you see these churches, they all have seven names. There's Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Smyrna, Ephesus, Laodicea, Philadelphia. And because we were limited on time today, I want to focus on three of these churches. And if you notice anything about this, you notice that as he's addressing these seven churches, this is the pattern for every church that he addresses. He has a commendation for some. He rebukes some. He gives encouragement to some. And he gives, what, a promise to some. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me in Revelation chapter 2. I have these scriptures on the board here. Revelation 2:4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Go back to verse 2. I know your deeds, your work, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. You have persevered and endured for my name, and you have not grown weary. You see, this church has a great resume. I mean, talk about a resume of a church. All of us, listen, this will be the top church in our state, our convention, our association. This is a great resume because this is a hard-working church. It is a church that has persevered. It is a church that was on its guard. It was a church that endured hardship. It was a church that did not grow weary while doing good. But something happened. They lost something. Let me repeat that. They lost someone. They lost something that was so important to our life as a church, and that is the power of Jesus Christ. We lost our first love. Jesus is asking that same question to us today. Do you love me? Now, you understand this. If you have ever been married, if you've been married, you know that as you have married your spouse, that as you're going through life, those first few years, man, life is just, it's just great. But then life happens, doesn't it? There's a job change, children come along, we have responsibilities and they're in activities, and the next thing you know, you are going in one direction and your spouse is going in another. And when you were used to seeing each other every day, you hardly see each other at all. And you do this for weeks and you do this for months, and you say to yourself, well, this is how we're going to get ahead. I guess this is how we're going to do life. And all of a sudden, one Saturday morning, you both meet in the kitchen and you look at each other. And what is your first thought? I used to know this person. You may not say that out loud. Man, what are we doing? That's what you say. My wife and I have had these conversations. What in the world are we doing? Why are we trying to kill ourselves? Why are we trying to do this? You see, our spouses have a right to call us out when we're not doing what we should be doing. And that is what? What is our primary concern is to love one another. And the Lord is asking that same question to us. Do you love each other because you're not acting like you love each other? Do you know that God is looking down on you? Did you know that? I used to say that jokingly, that I thought God was just looking down at me many times, and he was looking down at me just shaking his head like, man, is he ever going to get it right? Or he's looking down at me and he's shaking his head in such disappointment. I'm reading my Bible one day and listen to what I found. I found out in Psalms 33 that God is actually looking down. God is looking down at us, and this is what he says. Watch this. The Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from his dwelling place. He alone shapes their hearts. He considers all their works. Can I share something with you this morning? God is looking down at us. And he's evaluating your work and your words and what you're doing and what you're not doing. He's evaluating. In fact, he says that, this is what he says, I'm looking down from heaven to observe how you're doing. And our wives do have that authority to call us out when we're not loving each other. Like my wife said to me several times, honey, you say you'll die for me, but you never do. She's evaluating my what? My love for her. You see, Jesus is saying the same thing this morning. Do you love me? If we love the Lord, then we need to be what? Worshipers. He's asking us this question. I haven't seen you lately. What does that speak to? It speaks to our presence. God is wanting us to be regular attenders to his church. Did you know that some of the most committed people of your church only go to church 31 to 35 times a year? That's two-thirds of the time. Or God is asking us, saying to us, I haven't heard from you lately. You know what that speaks to? Our conversation, our prayers. Hey, I haven't received any gifts from you. What does that speak to? Our tithes and our offerings. What is also, he's saying, I haven't seen you serve, which means he's given us talent. He's asking us, if you love me, show me. If you love me, show me. I'm always fascinated by this story that I found in God's word of God's love for the thief on the cross. Luke 23:32. This is an amazing story. I'm always fascinated by this story because the traditional things that we think we should be doing in church, that's not what God is looking for. Let's read this scripture passage. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the other criminals. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now think about this for a second. This man had spent 99% of his life far from God. Most of us never get this opportunity that at the last moment of life, we get a mulligan. We get a do-over. This man recognized Jesus. I saw three things in this passage that I loved that this guy had recognized who Jesus was. First of all, he feared God. Don't you fear God? This man had a fear of God. The second thing that he noticed about Jesus was that Jesus was righteous. This man has done nothing wrong. And then he realized Jesus has a kingdom. Have you ever thought about the things that he never did, though? He never said a sinner's prayer. You see, I can't tell you how many people I know today who are basing their entire salvation on one prayer that they prayed when they were 8 or when they were 18 or when they were 28. They say a prayer, but their lifestyle says nothing about following Jesus. You can't say that I said a prayer, I said that sinner's prayer. The question is, are you following Jesus? Do you believe in who Jesus is? I was reading last night, John 6:28. What must we do to do the work that Jesus requires? And Jesus answered him, "The work of God is to believe in the one you have sent." He never went to church. Never gave an offering, never served on a committee, never served in the church. But my friends, when you and I die and we go to heaven, do you know who we'll see? We will see the thief on the cross. The second church that he is writing to is the church of Laodicea. You could say that this is the lukewarm church. Revelation 3:15, "I know your deed, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. But so because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Why? Because you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, poor, blind, and naked. This was a rebuke to the church, but also a rebuke to the pastor. This was a state that the church was in. The people were satisfied, but God was not. And God wanted this church of Laodicea to be a church that was either hot, in other words, get on fire, or be cold. We want to identify who you are. He says Laodicea was a wealthy city located on the road to Colossae, about 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia. Its main industry was wool cloth. Now, water was piped in from the city miles away, and by the time the water got to the city, it was what? Lukewarm. They were materially wealthy, but they were spiritually poor. They were famous for their black garments. What did Jesus say? I want you to have white clothing. I want you to buy from Christ refined gold that would glorify God, which is to make a person rich. In my study of this lesson, I did not know that in Laodicea, in the temple, there was a kind of eye salve that they gave away at the temple that would heal common eye problems. Jesus is saying your problem is not what you see, it's what you can't see. You can't see that you are basing your salvation and your good works on how wealthy we are, but the truth is you are poor, you need to repent, and then you need to repeat. So I asked myself this question, how do we know today that we are a lukewarm church? I just wrote some things down. I think we're lukewarm if we are just attending church. We're not experiencing God. You know, we check the box. There's no hunger and thirst for righteousness. We go to church because we feel good. We don't want to feel guilty, so we go to church. But we don't experience the power of God. We don't have a hunger for His Word or hunger for prayer. We don't want to take someone with us, which is all about discipleship. Second thing that I see is that when our meetings become monotonous, when our meetings are monotonous, this is where we're just going through the motions. I say it like this: we have messages without movement. Prayer without power, dialogue without direction, buildings with no boldness, programs with no purpose. We're looking behind versus looking ahead. The third thing that I think we're lukewarm is when we're more worried about our meetings instead of our mission. I know I served in a church for a long time. I was convinced that most of my church leaders thought John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave us a committee meeting on Thursday night. I like a church that's in action. When Pastor Roy and Jim tell me of your missions that you're doing, man, that excites me. I love hearing a church that is on mission. But the last thing that I fear, the lot of times that we've lost in our walk with God is this: we've lost our joy for Jesus. You know, every church is known by something, where whether we have a good music program, a good children's program, or we do this or we do that, but where do you ever hear that this is a church that loves Jesus? This is a church that has joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. We love the Lord, and we tell people about Him. We love Him because He first loved us. You know, I made the mistake in my last church. I was one of those pastors that I was doing education and discipleship, and I made the mistake of starting to pray for somebody to lead the men of our church. I'm looking around. I love seeing the men here today. And I started praying. I said, God, somebody needs to disciple these men. And man, I kept praying. I kept looking. I had a lot of men in our church. And I'm looking around. Who can lead our men's ministry? Who can lead our men's ministry? Who can lead our men's ministry? And I kept praying. And I prayed for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. I even talked about it. I even told other people. And I'll never forget it. It was one morning as I was having my devotions in my office, and I said, God, we need somebody to lead our men's ministry. And God said, Barry, the somebody is you. Anybody ever done, you ever prayed that? See? Somebody needs to lead our men's ministry. Somebody needs to disciple our men. Now listen, I am the discipleship pastor. That's a dumb prayer, isn't it? So we started what? Discipling our men. I didn't know what I was doing, but I started taking one man, and then I had four men, and then I had eight men, and then I had 16 men, then I had 32 men, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but guess what? I learned that I was discipling men, and I was reaching men. I was using a tool and a method because I wanted to pour in to men, and I have tried to do that ever since. The last church I want to focus on today is one that I like the most, the Church of Philadelphia. Revelation 3:7, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Verse 11, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one can take it from you. Are you hearing me this morning? I love this church. You see, Christ says, I know your deeds. The only rebuke he has is they have little strength. But listen, it's better to have a little strength, but to have a great God. Those who keep my word and have not denied the faith. Those who overcome, the promise here is those who overcome will be pillars in the temple. The name of God of the New Jerusalem and of Christ's name will be written on them. Central Baptist Church, you started in 1964. You have kept the faith. Can I thank you today for your faithfulness? Awaken Church, you just celebrated 10 years. Can I say something to you this morning? Thank you for your faithfulness. But what awaits us as two churches is just what the Bible is saying here in Philadelphia. What awaits us is an open door. What? An open door for ministry, an open door for more effectiveness. God did not plant you. Listen, God did not plant you here in this community for thousands of cars to pass by every day and say, oh, there's the church, there's the church. You see, when you remove a church from a community, you will see sin increase. When a church moves into a community, the sin decreases. That's why you're here. God did not place you here by accident. He placed you here for a purpose. The open door is before you. But I have to share with you this. There's a difference today between faithfulness and faith. Did I skip a... There it is. Faithfulness is what we know. We know we should be worshipers. We should be in God's word, discipleship. We should be what? Givers. We should be serving. These are things that many of us have been doing all our lives. But there's a difference between faithfulness and faith. You see, the faith is what we don't know. It's what we have to move forward to, not knowing the details. You say, oh, I don't really want to get into that. I have to be honest with you. My wife will tell you, most of the ministry that I was involved in at most of my churches, I did not sign up for. The ministries that I was doing was ministries that related to the community. We reached out to, the last church I was in, we reached out to the police officers. We met the chief of police. We did not realize the chief of our police, a local church, local police officer, was a born-again Christian. Well, that relationship of just having lunch with him one day ended up being an opportunity for us to host the police officers at our church and love on them and show our appreciation to them. And we reached half of the 92 police officers there. We poured into those officers. We gave them gift bags and gift certificates. And our church family wrote them personal letters of appreciation where every officer got at least 3 letters from our congregation. It was an open door. I would say to myself many times, how did I get into this? I'd be sitting in a school where we became partners in education. I'm sitting at a school, and they're giving out some kind of awards, and all of a sudden they said, well, hey, we want to thank the people of First Baptist Church of Smyrna for providing our lunches for our school for the past year. We just want to show our appreciation. So I'm telling you that God gave us many opportunities to move forward in ministry. As I was preparing this message, I was looking back at some of the sermons, and I wanted to show you what God has us doing sometimes that we don't really see it until after we have been a part of it. But in 2011, I must have been preaching at my church that day, because I just looked at this and I went, wow, we did this? This is where we were operating in faith. This is where, in 2011, this is what God was doing at our church. And we would just, listen, the reason I want you to know this, these things were coming to us because we said yes. 2011, on Christmas Day, we gave out 200 boxes of food to 200 families. Our church gave that year what you would call a benevolence ministry or care ministry is what we called it. They gave $37,422 to this ministry above and beyond the tithe. We had 60% of our church that was involved in our disciple-making process. We had a Faith in Action Sunday where we went to a local school, and the first one we had about 8 churches join us. And we had 700 people show up at a local high school to do ministry and work that day. Our church saw 300 people. 23 of our 26 adult classes saw spiritual growth. Our summer lunch program was responsible for providing 600 lunches a day for students during the summer ministry of our church and our community. And so you say, Barry, why did you show us that? Because God wants us to pay attention. He wants us to pay attention to the mission of the church, but we have to protect the message. God is going to bring us opportunities to impact this community. And I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. I want you to be like the Philadelphia church. I don't want you to be like the church of Ephesus that lost their first love. I don't want you to be a lukewarm church like Laodicea. I want you to be a church like Philadelphia. This church was unique. This church was doing some things that others weren't doing. Do you notice that it was a church that overcame? It was a church that kept its word. It was a church that did not deny his name, but it was a church that had open doors. I'm so excited for your church because I see you with many doors of opportunity. Let me pray for us. And God, it's an honor for me to celebrate today. the ministry of Central Baptist, the ministry of Awakening. And this church, like Philadelphia, has an open door. They were doing the work. They were lifting up Jesus. If we don't lift Jesus' name up, what do we have to draw people to? We're not here to make members. We're here to make disciples. And Lord, that's what you commanded us to do. It was your last command. And so often it gets pushed down. It takes second, third, fourth, sometimes 10th place on our list of priorities. God, help us to continue to lift up the name of Jesus. Help us to let you draw people to yourself. And Lord, in the end, we'll be grateful for all that you do. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Simply ask that each and every one of us determine what it was that God said to us individually today through his word. Because God's word does not return void. It wasn't about Barry, it's not about Roy, it's not about Jim. It's about God. What did he say to you today? What challenges has he given you? First of all, I was asked, are you trusting him? And Barry highlighted something. I said, heard me say it many, many times in this forum. It's not about checking off a box and saying I did the thing. It's not about just praying a prayer with the preacher. Hey, saying a prayer is a good way to get a relationship started, but that's just the start. The Lord says, I want you to follow me as one of my children, not just, you know, do a touch and go. He said, I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me. And he has given us doors. Trusted Jesus today, I beg you today to make sure that you've trusted him. If you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, I have to have you. And then after you prayed that prayer, did you say, Lord, here I am. I will say yes to you. You know what I really love about that passage in Isaiah when he said, who will go for us? Who shall I send? Who will go? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Today we think about those who have stood in that gap that have been sent. We celebrate. We celebrate today. Like I said, if you look around, all of us are here today because of those who said, here am I, send me. Yes, Lord, I will. But there are doors that remain open, and God has not yet begun to do what he wants to do in this community. Central Baptist Church and with Awakening Church. There's plenty of room, and the ground around the cross is all level, and there's room for one more. I'm just going to ask that as Awakening's praise band play, that you would search your heart. You know, we're a little different. We still believe in an old altar. Well, here's one right here. If you need to speak to myself or Pastor Jim, I'm going to ask Pastor Jim to come on up for just a second. Come on up here, buddy. He's going to have some stuff he's got going on, but I want him down here as well. And we're going to be down here as the praise band plays. If you need us, you make your way here in an attitude of prayer. You seek the Lord as we have our time of invitation.
You guys can stand if you feel led and sing this song with us.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. And God
seated for just a moment. If you want to stand up, you can. If you want to sit down, that's fine as well. I just want to give us a few instructions, directions. For the folks of Central, I want you to know that is the lovely Bonnie Cox, that we've been praying for her and her little boy who does such a wonderful, wonderful job. Sometimes it's great to put a name with a face. That's the miracle we're praying for right there. So you all keep on praying. We're going to watch God do some incredible things. Just a few things that I want to mention to kind of round us out. I got a few announcements for Central. Jim's going to have a few announcements for Awaken. I do want to mention that as you leave today, there is an offering box. They're back there by the door. One of them has Central on it. One of them has Awaken on it. It's just red. The red one is for Awaken. Yeah, if Jim says if you're colorblind, it's the small one. That's the Awakened offering box. And then ours, I think, is the wooden box back there. And I think it's got Central on it. You can drop your tithe an offering in as you go out, that God might bless you, first of all, and that ministry may continue. I do want to say a very happy birthday today to our very own Doc Pete Inover. So if you get a chance to see Doc, be sure to wish him a happy birthday. And then, of course, Ansley Fondos will be coming up on the 21st. So if you see her, be sure to let her know. Just a couple of quick things to let you know. Our brass is going to practice today after lunch. So where's Jim? Is that right? Just want to make sure. After lunch today, the band is going to practice over in the sanctuary. And I do want to remind you that we are in the midst of our baby bottle campaign. I believe Awaken is as well. If you have your baby bottle, we usually take that offering between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And then we take those bottles and get them to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. This helps pay for ultrasounds for women who are considering aborting their children. The statistics are staggering that when a mother sees that baby, I believe it's in the 90 percentile, decide not to abort that child. So this is what the change, whatever goes in those bottles, we make sure it gets down there. Awaken is taking those, as well as us. We'll take those through Father's Day. You can just bring them back as need be. I want our charter members to know, in just a minute, we're going to be having our lunch. Our charter members, central charter members, you guys don't have to give up. Don't give up either. We're going to serve you. We're going to have your meal brought to you, so you guys don't have to worry about having your table dismissed. We will make sure that you guys are properly served. Just make sure you don't get up on that. I also want you to know, for those of you that are around these tables up here, as well as the screen as you're having lunch, is 60 years of memories that you'll see going by. Our charter members, you guys will have that presentation actually in your bag on a thumb drive. But there's some photographs of some of the important dates of Central Baptist Church that are up here. You can come by and take a look at those, you know, as lunch goes on. I do want to say a special thank you to several folks. Our own Debbie Sullivan for putting today's program together. Tim Worf for going through archives and putting together the presentation. Sandy and our fellowship team for getting things decorated and for serving. Ryan Anderson for reading my mind. I appreciate you, brother, on the gifts for our charter members. My wife for going through some of the stuff that we feel is important to be able to put out as archives for you to be able to. Please do us a favor. Don't take any of that with you. That's from an archive, so we'll have them for a later date. If you want a copy of something, we'll make you a copy of it. Don't just lift it and take off with it, because we have some pretty important stuff that's out there. Let's see. I do want you to remember the two folks in particular in your prayers today, and then I'm going to turn it over for Jim for any announcements that he has for Awaken, as well as saving our blessing. First of all, I want you to remember Shirley Monroe. Shirley had a fall last night and has broken her hip. She is at the hospital. She is in tremendous pain. As of this morning, they were waiting on a surgeon to come in. And then Caleb Harrell. Caleb was bitten by a copperhead and was in the hospital. He's actually supposed to be coming home today, but they are pleased with how the antivenom is working. That is the son of Chris and Lindsay Harrell. So you want to remember him in your prayers. Pretty big copperhead. I said he's going to have a story to tell as he goes forward. Last thing I want to say before I turn it over to Jim is this. We want to thank Awaken Church. Not only did Awaken provide our meal for today, Pastor Jim prepared it. That's why he looks like he says. And I got to read this to you. His apron says, "Many had eaten Scott's backyard barbecue. Few have died." So at any rate, the meal today has been prepared by Jim Scott and Awaken Church. Would you please thank them for us for today's meal, for all that they're doing? They wanted to help us celebrate our 60th anniversary in style. I love you, brother. I appreciate you. Jim's going to give any announcements that he has to Awaken Church, and then I'm going to ask him to return thanks for our meal.
Thank you, Roy. First, let me just say this. Central, happy birthday. I mean, 60 years. I don't think 60 years ago, charter members, that you thought that this would be happening, that you would be housing two churches. But like Roy said earlier, two churches with one vision, kingdom-minded churches, and that's what we're about. We might do things a little different, but we don't preach the word different. It's the truth, nothing but the truth. You know, And that's what we preach. We preach Jesus Christ, and salvation is only through Him. So thank you, Central, for allowing Awaken to worship here also. It has been an amazing blessing to us. We just celebrated 10 years. So I hope 50 years from now, I doubt I'll be alive. I hope we're in heaven. I'll tell you the truth. I hope the rapture comes. But I look forward to every anniversary just thanking the Lord for what He's doing and thanking the Lord for you. A couple quick announcements. You heard the red boxes back there for our Awaken folks, or you can give online, however you decide to do. We appreciate your gifts. Back in that back corner are our baby bottles. So if you weren't here last week to pick up a baby bottle, Awaken, they're in that back corner under the basketball nets and so forth. And then also yesterday we had a fundraiser for our youth ministry for camp, help offset some of the cost for our kids to go to camp. We raised an incredible amount of money. God bless us. I cooked for that too, so I'm a little tired. We have back in the back some bake sale stuff that are homemade bake sale things. And if you want some, we're not charging, but if you want to give a donation to the youth ministry, feel free to do that. There's a box there, but take some cookies, brownies, cakes, whatever's back there. Just grab at it after service and enjoy that. Other than that, I don't have any other announcements except for, you got one more? I'll give instructions about what I need to do.
Just one thing I wanted to mention, as Central has been involved in a lot of missions over time, we're also involved in disaster response, and I just ask for your prayers. Jimmy McDonald and I will be leaving tomorrow to take a bulk trailer to Trinity, Texas. North Carolina is assisting Texas in the massive flooding that they've had. This is about an hour north of Houston. So keep Jimmy and I in your prayers. We're actually going to be driving straight through, since there are going to be two of us, so that we can get that bunk trailer down there with the relief efforts. Our North Carolina people are going to start pouring in over the next 2 days down there to assist several hundred people who've had their homes completely destroyed. So we're going to be doing recovery efforts down there and trying to assist those folks with meals, laundry, shower, and different things to that nature. So Jimmy and I will be leaving in sometime tomorrow, heading for Texas. If you watch our social media site, I'll give you an update. Thank you.
No more. You're done. I'll cut you off. I've cut you off. Okay. Yeah. Real quickly, before I tell you about the food and so forth, I'd like to thank Barry for being here to preach the Word of God to us. I appreciate Barry. He's one of my dearest friends. I will tell you, I did hear some of the sermon. I was trying to get things ready. I also heard he said, I can't count. This is not true. Listen, he counts three strokes as one. Okay, that's how he counts, okay? But nevertheless, I appreciate him being here and sharing the Word of God with us. Now, the food, let me just say this. This is Central Baptist Church's anniversary. So with that said, and Sandy's going to get mad at me when I do this, because she told me I couldn't do it, but I'm doing it, because I cooked it, and so Central, you guys are going to go first, okay? When you cook for a crowd like this, not knowing how many people are coming from Central, not knowing how many people are going to come from Awaken, you have to really guess on it. So I want to make sure Central eats first. Now, Awaken, I believe I got enough for everybody, so don't just take off. I mean, I've got Italian chicken and brisket and green beans and mashed potatoes, big salads. But I want to encourage you, Awaken folks, you make sure Central goes first. And if you're serving these folks here, the founding members, you go back there now and get your plates together right now as you go back there and get them and bring them to the folks. But Central, you'll be going first. And Roy will come back up here after he serves, and we'll figure out how to dismiss tables to go. We've got two lines, one right there and one over there. And go down both sides. Go down both sides. It'll speed up the process. So with that said, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless our food. Thank you for being here. This is exciting. Is this not exciting? Look around, guys. This is exciting when you see this many people here to worship the Lord. And that's what we're here for. We're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm just grateful that all of us are here together. So let us pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you first and foremost, and we get to call you that, Father. You're our daddy, your papa, because Jesus died for our sins. And when we ask Jesus, when we ask your son to be our Lord and Savior, you adopt us into your family. And we become children of God, and thank you for that privilege. And I pray that, God, as we leave this place today, that we'll leave more excited about being the church. You know, Lord, we have a saying that we don't just go to church, we are the church. We need to go be the church through the community and let people know that Jesus is alive, Now, I pray, God, as we're about to take of this food, you'll bless it. You'll use the nourishing our bodies. God, if you need to multiply it like you did the fish and the loaves, I pray you do that too. Nevertheless, God, we just want to say thank you. You're an amazing God, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. All right, I'm going to go until Roy gets up here. I'm going to dismiss some central tables. I see the very first one in that corner. Guys, go ahead and go to that table there. You guys right there. And then let's see, back in the back. Let's see, I'm looking. Back there. I see you guys. Raise your hand. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, don't look back. You know I'm looking at you. Yes, you guys go ahead and go, David. All right. Feel free to mingle and talk. Next table. Go ahead, folks, right there. You're central. Go ahead and get up there. David, take your family up there. Back here, this table. Go ahead, right there. Yes, yes. Roy, get up here and do your job. Folks, right here. Right here. Why don't you head back to that one right there. Right here, this table. Right here, head over there.
Jim, leave your table over there.
Right, I was like, I don't
know. You be the leader. Yeah. Right here, like a fool.